Hey everybody, Pete Kluzek, Bass University TV. I'm here with Garrett Paulquette, Bassmaster Elite Rookie, Bassmaster Classic Qualifier, and I just found out you're a member of the Century Club.
That's right.
Caught 100 pounds of bass at Lake Fork in Texas this year.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. My first year on tour, it's something you've always, you know, dreamed of doing.
Yeah.
And especially with that event, I actually, as a kid, I kind of fantasized about having one of those Century belts ever since I saw one. And we've always joked around, and it's funny because I'm not a big fish guy or anything. I'm more of a guy that does well, and it takes 13 to 15 pounds a day to win a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But when we saw that tournament come up, I knew that was going to be an opportunity to finally get one. And the first crack at it, we got it done. So check off, on to the next thing.
I've been fishing for about 20 years. I don't have one. But we're still working on it. My question for you is why aren't you wearing the belt? I think I'd be wearing it to church and everywhere. I think I'd wear it everywhere.
That's a good story. On live, when I caught the last fish to put me over, I actually said to the Bass Live cameras, "Trip, get my belt ready." And I don't know if that went over well or not, but they're not ready.
They're not ready.
Apparently,
yet.
I think it's gonna be next year at the Classic or something. We're getting them, so I gotta wait a little bit.
I'd be like walking around ICAST with it over my shoulder, you know,
like you're in the UFC holding it up.
Yeah, exactly. I would. We were at the flipping contest. I'd be holding it over my head. But that's great. That's congratulations on amazing tournament and a great start to your career. And you've got some grass lakes coming up and. With Cayuga, maybe Thousand Islands if you decide to do that, but there's a lot of great grass fishing up there with the largemouth, but grass fishing is one of my favorite mm-hmm. things to do in the world. I grew up fishing milfoil. You're from the Lake St. Clair area.
Yep.
We've got a lot of great milfoil lakes all around that region. So you're gonna talk to us today about your techniques and strategies for fishing milfoil. I can't wait to hear about it.
Of course, I'm talking to the king of milfoil fishing himself. But where I grew up, I mean, we obviously have Lake St. Clair, but a lot of the smaller inland lakes, our tournaments are won by flipping grass, usually flipping grass or fishing docks. So I've spent a lot of time doing this, and I've kind of, you know, figured out a few things that works for me as far as doing this technique and, you know, going to Cayuga and even like the opens at Oneida.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, these are techniques that are probably gonna play for me. So I know a lot of guys are probably gonna get mad about some of the things I'm gonna share, but let's get into it.
Hey, let's get into it. This is Bass University, and our goal is to try to teach people how to fish, and I'm glad you're sharing some of this stuff with us. Well, let's get started. Okay. I mean, you know, what is your attack for a milfoil lake? Like milfoil up in our part of the country, it really doesn't get going until probably June or July, where it starts getting tall enough where the fish start using it.
Yeah, that's about the same for us. You know, this is not a pre-spawn technique or even a spawn technique. You know, you got to wait till the days get hot, that grass grows up, whether it depends on the lake. You probably want at least 4 foot of water there. And then as depending on how clear the lake is, the grass, I've seen it grow as deep as 15 to 20 foot. But generally, you know, that 4 to 10 foot range is probably what you're gonna be fishing with this. And there's a lot of techniques to use, whether it's a chatterbait, topwater, but the bigger fish, in my experience, it really comes down to one technique, which is flipping. I mean, that just seems the best way to present a bait to those fish that are huddled there in the bottom. And I really have two different setups that I like to use for those. To get those fish to get into the grass, to get them.
Let's go through some of those setups.
So the one is just your typical Texas rig, and a lot of guys do it. A lot of guys like flipping a worm, like flipping a craw on a lighter weight.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's all about speed. It's all about reaction. You're looking at a punching setup, really. You're talking 3/4 to 1 ounce bait. Generally, I'm starting with a small craw as the bait to at least kind of gauge what stage the fish are in. Not in white. Usually the colors are gonna be always green, dark, black. You're always trying to represent bluegill, I feel like, when this, because a lot of these bluegills sit into those milfoil stalks.
Right.
That's what these fish are keen in. So I'm always starting with a heavier Texas rig and just, you know, looking for clumps of grass. If it's sparse, you're looking for the thickest clumps. If it's thicker grass, you're looking for the holes. But you really, it's kind of a simple technique. You know, it's no different than fishing a lay down or flipping a mat in Florida. You're just throwing it out there, making sure everything falls on slack line. So you kind of, it's a little different because you're dealing with the depth of the water. You're not flipping into 12 inches. You know, you might be dealing with 8 foot of water there. So a lot of times you like to flip, and when the bait hits the water, you want your rod up real high. And then you can drop your rod down as the bait falls. So the bait's not pendulum back, it's going straight down. that's something that's very key.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I've talked about that in my classes, because I do this all the time. We're fishing 8 to 12 foot milfoil edges, and this is the most, that tip that Garrett just gave us was amazing. It's like you flip out and you got a free spool while you're flipping, so the bait hits the water and your rod is straight up in the air. You stop and then you drop your rod tip and you just put about 10 foot of slack into the fall, so it doesn't pendulum. That bait can fall straight down.
And it's amazing the difference of the amount of bites you'll get if it's falling completely on slack versus pendulum, or having a pendulum in the fall. Like, there are some times where you don't realize it. Like, if you're fishing into the wind, that wind will naturally kind of push on your line.
Yeah.
And if you're flipping into it all day, you won't get a lot of bites. And then when you turn your back to the wind and kind of let it push you, the wind keeps everything slack, pushes the boat towards where your bait landed. And it's just like, the more slack you can get, the more bites you have. You know, it seems crazy when you're talking that deep. Why does the bait have to fall so perfect? But that is definitely probably the most important tip when it comes to getting these fish to bite, is having a perfectly straight fall with absolutely, you know, no pressure from the rod or from the line on that bait to affect the fall.
Wow, that's certainly a great tip. And I also heard, you know, I want to echo it on the grass. Guys ask us that question all the time, and I think you handled it nicely. Mm-hmm. Where do I start? I got miles of grass beds, you know, what am I looking for? And you said it, in the thicker weed beds, you're looking for the pockets, and in the sparser grass, you're looking for the thick clumps. Yes, those are going to be your
targets.
Right.
And, you know, I guess to go off of that search a little bit more, you know, when I get to a lake, and I know this is going to be a pattern, I almost treat it like I'm scanning offshore or something. I spend a lot of time idling, and I use my side imaging. Like, I don't know how it looks on a lot of units, but with my hummingbird, I know that the milfoil shows up as like little white golf balls. So when you see the grass off to the side, you'll see little white balls all in it. And that's the crisp, fresh milfoil that you're looking for. So I'll do that a lot. Try to side scan some weed beds, or I'll just simply sit up on the top of my seat, or have somebody sit up on the front deck if it's legal, and just look into the water. I mean, you're looking for clean, you know, crisp green grass. Unfortunately, a lot of these lakes get sprayed, so you know how there's a lot of dead milfoil out there that really isn't holding the fish. But sometimes that works in your favor when you find a little patch that hasn't been affected yet, and they kind of group into there.
Yeah, because when it gets sprayed, you see it turns brown, it starts disappearing, and I hardly ever catch fish out of the brown grass.
No, it's tough. Yeah. Maybe if they do the whole lake, you'll get some, but generally that fresh, clean stuff is where it's going down.
Okay. So your Texas rigging, like, what kind of, are you, is weight important?
I'm at least a 3/4 ounce guy. You know, like I said, and I'm not worried about if it's 2 foot of water or if it's 12, 15 foot. I want to start with at least a 3/4, and that seems a little heavy because a lot of times, you know, you're not punching a mat with this. You're just simply throwing it next to a stalk of grass and it's just falling down.
Right.
But I don't want, you know, these baits, especially if you're going to throw like a craw or something, there is some obstruction. Can we cut that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you what, hold on.
You ready? Whenever you're ready.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, so most of the time I'm a 3/4 ounce guy. You know, it doesn't matter if it's 2 foot of water or 12 foot of water. That's what I'm starting with. When you're flipping a craw, you know, the appendages of the craw displace in the water, and it slows your fall down. So it's really not as fast as you think it is falling down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to waste a lot of time having to wait all day for the bait to slowly go to the bottom. I want to get down there and I want to make the fish make a decision. I think the shorter amount of time I have, or the shorter amount of time that I give the fish to think, is better for my chances. I don't want him to sit there and examine the bait when it's coming down. I want him to make a split second decision, either bite it or not, and move on. So that's how I look at that. I always start with a 3/4, and from there, I won't really go lighter. If anything, I'm gonna go heavier. If I feel like they're finicky and they're maybe getting too good of a look at it, I'll go to a 1 ounce, or a lot of times I'll put a punch skirt right above the bait, and I'll go to a 1 ounce, and that gives me the similar fall as a 3/4 ounce without a punch skirt would do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll completely change baits and I'll go to like a beaver style bait here, and that'll give me even a faster fall than the craw will. So I'll play around with baits a little bit, but I'm looking for speed. I'm not, you know, trying to finesse my way in on one. This is power fishing. I want to get down there. I want to make a lot of flips throughout the day, and I'm about triggering a reaction bite.
I think that's fantastic, and I couldn't agree more with it. Do you Do you peg your stuff?
Or? Yes, I peg it. Yep.
Okay.
I peg the weight. I'm always throwing it on braid. And for the same reason, like I know a lot of guys now are flipping fluorocarbon,
mm-hmm.
and obviously fluorocarbon is invisible in the water, so mm-hmm. that makes more sense. But the difference between a bait falling on 50-pound braid, which is what I use 99% of the time,
yeah.
and like a 17-pound fluorocarbon is pretty significant. If you yeah. have that braid, that bait's falling a lot more faster. So that's how I look at that, and I stick with braid. I think when you're down there 10 foot in a canopy of grass, those fish, they don't see the line really anyways, as it is.
Yeah. I'm a fluoro guy because okay. I'm that bothers me, but about line visibility. Mm-hmm. But Greg Hackney agrees with you, and a lot yep. of people do, that the line, maybe he thinks it looks like a stalk of grass,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the fish doesn't know a difference. So the benefits of the braid outweigh any line visibility issues. And but what I heard you say, which is unique, because the braid falling faster or allows the bait to fall faster, because people might not understand this, but a 1 ounce weight and a 1/8 ounce weight, if you drop them with no friction, they're going to land at the same time.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so the weight, it's not, the 1 ounce weight doesn't fall faster. The reason why it actually does fall faster in the environment is because it offsets all the friction
That's
from
right.
the line and the bait.
Mm-hmm.
So the braided line has less friction, it's smaller diameter, and it can slip through the water quicker. It's gonna allow that bait to get a faster fall. I might have to go over to braid.
Well, I always say whatever you got confidence in with first. So if you got yeah. confidence in that, stick with that.
Well, fast fall is key for me,
yeah.
and it's key, you know, in some of my success. Mm-hmm. So I'm always looking to, you know, get that bait to really fire to the bottom, and I never really considered braid yeah. helping me in that arena. So thank you for
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
So that's a great little tip. So you're fishing a braided line, and you're pegging the sinker.
Pegging the weight, yep.
Now, these baits, is color the key?
I don't want to say color is the key. I'm just trying to match a bluegill. So
yeah.
you're talking green pumpkins, Okeechobee craws, even
yeah.
like a black and blue black, you know, yeah. something dark like that. I'm not, you're not really imitating shad or even if you're imitating crayfish, they're probably sharing that same kind of color pattern. So
mm-hmm.
it's always around the green in some sort of way. That's
okay.
what you're looking for. Green with blue. I mean, green pumpkin blue is probably my favorite day in and day out. I like that color. Or a sprayed grass.
How important is the bottom consistency in milfoil fishing?
It's very important, and it kind of depends like where you live. So in Michigan, we don't have a lot of the natural rock that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more looking for just how good the grass is. That kind of rules all. But in my trips to New York from Champlain to Oneida, where you have a ton of milfoil and a lot of it's good, I've definitely noticed the difference where you have like boulders present or a really hard gravel bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something you can feel when your weight hits the bottom. You can feel the tick from the tungsten hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make a difference, and that just kind of depends on what cover is available per that lake. Harder is always better. Sometimes you're just not going to find it. You're just going to have to take the good grass and go
right.
with it.
Right. Well, what about time of day? Do you get them flipping right out of the gate?
If it's gonna, for instance, our Cayuga tournament coming up, mm-hmm. I'm probably gonna be flipping right away.
Yep.
I think, you know, those bigger fish, I don't see them swimming off and really going to do something. That's the primary forage area of that lake. That's where the feeding zone is. I'm gonna mm-hmm. start with it all day. It might, you know, you might have a window in the morning where they're active, and then maybe it slows down, and then in the afternoon, when the sun gets up and you get those shadows to start casting down there, it might pick up again. But
right.
if I know that that's going to be a pattern I'm fishing, I'm probably sticking with it for 8 hours.
Sure. Well, I agree. It seems like to me, in my experience, is like when they get on that grass pattern, it's an all day affair.
Yeah.
It can be a morning and then it comes back in the that always seems to be a pattern. You know, you get a
Absolutely,
morning bite,
yeah.
then it kind of gets tough, and then the afternoon bite, you
mm-hmm.
know, those fish get back to using those grass lines or the grass like they do. But you got creature baits here.
Yeah.
I see you have a stick bait out
yeah.
here, and we haven't talked about
so
that. How does that fit into your grass plan?
This is the one I don't really want to talk about a whole lot. But
so
most guys are doing the Texas rig thing, or you know, a lot of guys are flipping jigs. I stick mm-hmm. with the Texas rig. I feel like my hookup's a little better, my percentage
yeah.
a little better. But I do a thing which, you know, I guess it depends who you talk to. I call it power shotting,
mm-hmm.
and it's really on the same setup. I'm using a flipping stick, 50-pound braid, and what I'm doing is I'm tying a flipping hook, like a drop shot hook, like
okay.
a four-aught straight shank flipping hook, and I'll use about a foot of you know, drop down leader to the weight, and I'll put a 3/4 to 1 ounce catfish weight on there actually, pretty much a giant,
like a gypsy.
Yeah, like, or I mean, it's a big drop shot weight, but you can't find them for bass fishing with the right, like, you don't want a clip on the top because the impact is so hard. So I buy, there's one with ones with bull rings on top of the weights.
Yeah.
So just a giant drop shot weight. And I've started flipping that. Some guys in our area have been doing well on it. And that's a completely different look that has been very successful for me. I think the fish get accustomed to the bait when you're flipping a Texas rig that's going to the bottom and sitting. Mm-hmm. And I think when you flip this heavy, heavy drop shot, the bait just sits, you know, maybe right about here above the bottom and then and goes down. And there's times where they cannot stand that. It's a unique look. It's very high percentage because you're only dealing with a hook on the line. You don't have a weight in front of it.
Right.
And it catches a lot of big fish.
That's mate. What kind of weights are you talking about? Like the same 3/4, 1 ounce weights or 1/2 ounce?
Yeah.
Or?
But I mean, I'm using 3/4 and 1 ounce for that.
Okay.
And like I said, it's a drop shot, big cylinder drop shot weight on the bottom.
Yeah.
And kind of play around with it a little bit. I probably fish the 1 ounce more than anything, just because even with a drop shot, it's even slower now to fall.
Right.
So instead of having a 1 ounce on a Texas rig pulling it, the 1 ounce with a bait above it kind of slows it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same general principle. You're looking for the same things with it. You're kind of, you know, I guess you get a little bit more opportunity to work the bait. I feel like with a Texas rig, what would you say? Probably 90% of your bites are on the fall. Even more maybe.
Right.
The drop shot maybe 50% are on the fall. And you get enough, you get some opportunity to, you know, sit there and work the bait a little bit, shake it, mm-hmm. maybe pick up another 50% of the bites doing that.
Right. So power drop shotting, I've heard about it. Mm-hmm. I've played around a little bit. It's a great little grass technique.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
It works well in pressured areas.
It does, especially. Yeah. That's where it shines. I mean, when you get to a school of unpressured fish or you have it to yourself, you probably just go with a Texas rig and catch them.
Yeah.
But a couple days go on, maybe more boats are in the area, you're in a tournament situation, that's when this drop shot, mm-hmm. that's when you bring that out and you start getting bites that other guys aren't getting.
Now you're using this 4-ounce straight shank, right? You're rigging that like Texas style, weedless.
Yeah, I'm rigging it weedless. I'm tying it to a snell knot and then I'm bringing the tag end through so the hook's sitting straight, just like it would on a drop shot.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm rigging it. I mean, just like I were to be, if I was rigging a, you know, any other flipping bait.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you have to be careful with is what baits you put on there, because you're gonna have a lot of instances where you're reeling this setup in and you have to bring this bait over the grass. And like with a lot of stick worms, the composition of the plastic is too soft for this, which is good. That's why they're so good, like on a weightless. Mm-hmm. Wacky worm, but on something like this, the hook will constantly keep popping out.
Right.
So you kind of want to pick a worm that it's a little bit stiffer, not as much salt in it. Like this one's from Big Bite, just called the Trick Stick. They put no salt in it. It's a little stiffer than, mm-hmm. you know, something, like I said, you throw on a wacky rig. But for this, it works really good because the hook sits in there nice. It doesn't pop out throughout the day all day and you have to keep readjusting it.
Right.
So that's something I would do, or something I do. And then I'll go with a beaver style bait on here as well. Usually I'll go to the second. I always start with the Cinco first, just because it falls faster. But maybe if I went through and caught some fish, I'd put the beaver style bait on there and see if I could just show them a little different of a look.
How long a leader are you using?
About 12 inches.
About 12 inches?
Yeah, 8 to 12 inches.
Right. You vary so that much, or you just...
Vary it a whole lot, no.
Yeah. That's about what you need to get bit.
I'm not, you know, some guys want to get real scientific and be like, well, you need 8 inches for here, 12 inches for here. It's like, if it's about this, maybe a little longer away, they'll bite it. So
right. These
fish don't get that keyed in.
Yeah, that's excellent. Now, when you're flipping, you know, how do you find the fish? You talked about using a graph, mm-hmm. graph to find good grass or looking for good grass visually. Is that how you do it? Do you just put the trolling motor down and go? Or?
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, this is something that it does require work, and you know it. Yeah. You gotta cover some ground, and you have to be. You don't want to be overly thorough where you're not making any progress with how far you're advancing through a grass mat. But you do have to be a little bit, because these fish will get in really small groups, and that's something you'd hate to miss. So
I usually
let the wind push me if I can, or just keep the trolling motor on a fairly high speed, and I just, you know, flip every 10, 15 feet mm-hmm. until I get a couple bites. And usually if it's a good bite, I'll always put a waypoint down, and then maybe I'll make a pass a little bit inside of it on the same stretch, and then a lot of times you'll notice you start to get all these little bites, you got all these little clusters on your graph, and then you can kind of figure out like, okay, there's a school of fish in this. 200-yard area, and then in the tournament you want to have that all zoned in and just fishing those productive areas all day.
That's great advice, and it kind of flies in the face, guys. I know you know you hear fishing into the wind, fishing into the current, but I agree with you. In certain instances, it's a real benefit to have the wind on your back.
Definitely.
You're quieter. The bait falls more free. You can cover water very, very fast. It's a great asset sometimes to use the wind on your back. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great advice. It's grass fishing. We're going to be looking for you up at Cayuga because I know these techniques are going to crush them up there.
I'm really excited to get there. I mean, obviously you saw the Hackney tournament, and I'm thinking it's going to be a lot like this time. So I'm excited to get up there and hopefully catch them.
Yeah, you know, just a little, it's not any information, but other than the weights, this spring have been 30 pounds I've been seeing coming out of Cayuga this year. So the it seems like, I don't know if the gobies got in there or what happened, but the bass just keep
getting
just
bigger,
like everywhere else in New York.
Right.
They just keep getting bigger. So I'd like to see maybe a break the Century Club up there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It could be done. Could be done. Just 25 pounds a day is all it takes. You did it once, you do it again. But I appreciate all the information on grass fishing. Like I said, all these baits are available at the Bass University Tackle Shop that we talked about here today. Try this power shotting in the grass. This is a big deal for you guys that have grass lakes, heavily pressured lakes. It's a really big deal, and it's going to help you catch a lot of fish. Garrett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Best luck rest of the season.
Thank
you. And I'm Pete Gluzek for Bass University TV.
Head over to bassu.tv, the premier learning destination in bass fishing. Over 600 in-depth videos geared to help you catch more and bigger bass. Use the promo code BASSULIVE19 for 10 days free. That's BASSULIVE19 to get BASSU TV free for 10 days. Get the Bass University Advantage today.